Welcome to Four Down Territory. As Stink and Mike take a look at the four biggest stories in Denver sports. Here's Schlereth and Evans kicking it off with First Down.
So the Nuggets wrap up their season as the number two seed. Not the number one seed. They gave that away with that where did that come from loss against San Antonio on Friday. Although I tried to tell you on Friday this was a trap. It was a trap game. I didn't think it'd be a loss, but I figured it'd be a trap. But they ended up losing it. But they did get a little bit of help yesterday as Phoenix beat Minnesota. So now the Nuggets finish with the number two seed. And if they end up meeting the Timberwolves, they'll be at home for that series. But in the meantime, the Nuggets will await the winner of the New Orleans Lakers play-in game tomorrow. That is the team that they will play in round one. In the meantime, Michael Malone happy that his team gets a week off.
I think these next couple of days, just to give guys the mental, the physical, the emotional rest, can be really, really effective. And I kind of liken it to our All-Star break. Now, we went into that break with losing three in a row, and we came out of that break, you know, we hit the ground running. So anytime you have that opportunity, I think it's important.
Yeah, Nikola Jokic said he's going to go spend some time by his new pool and going to relax for the next couple of days. They don't play until Saturday.
It's going to be cold, though. Oh, he's a Russian bear, though. He doesn't care. Sunbathing, 42 degrees out. Cheeky's in the wind, right?
You can vote on our poll question either on Mark. Mark retweeted it. I put it up on my Twitter at MikeEvans1043. Who would you like to see the Nuggets play in the first round? Nuggets and Lakers or Nuggets and Pelicans? So far, the early votes are in, and about 56% of you would like to see the Lakers. I would, too.
You know what Nikola could do?
Just beat the Lakers again.
Out there by his new pool.
What's that?
Raises testosterone levels.
Sun's out, yarbles out.
Sun's out, plums out. Just get those babies dangling in the sun.
But does he need more testosterone? I don't know.
I mean, you know, I mean, he's been wrestling all year. A little extra testosterone to toss some guys around wouldn't be an all bad thing.
Get the week off. Let those scratches heal.
Mm-hmm.
Get those fresh scratches for the playoffs.
Yes.
Fresh welts. So, yeah. So, we'll see.
He must have the most scratchable arms in the NBA.
Easily. So, we'll wait to see who the Nuggets play. Pelicans, Lakers, tomorrow to determine the seventh seed.
Second down.
Avalanche not playing well heading into the playoffs. Definitely some concern for the Avs after they had that home ice battle. For their first round matchup against Winnipeg, they lost 7-0 at home. Then they turn around, blow a 3-0 lead yesterday in Vegas, end up losing 4-3 in overtime. All the talk right now surrounding the Avalanche goaltending, and Jared Bednar acknowledges it's got to be better.
I thought he played a good hockey game, but like he's got to come up with a save, you know? Like he has to come up with a save on if we have a breakdown, penalty kill. They come up with a big save for the guys, you know, and you know, they hit a couple posts and they scored some goals, you know, like we're going to need a big save from time to time in order to win hockey games, especially ones like that.
Who would you go with? Game one. If game one was tonight, game one in Winnipeg.
On and in.
Although, Bednar wasn't impressed with Onanen's performance on Saturday either.
Mm-hmm.
See, I don't know. When they had Kemper and Francois, that was a dynamic where I think both guys were comfortable in their roles. I wonder though if you benched Georgiev for the start of the playoffs and went with Onanen, I think you lose Georgiev mentally for the rest of the rest of the playoffs.
So he's that soft, yeah, mentally?
Yes, I wonder about that. Yes, I would wonder about his ability to handle being benched. And then you're left with Onanen or bust. I would start with Georgiev, he's got a short hook.
If he is that, if he couldn't handle that, if he didn't bow his back on that, he's not the guy you want between the pipes anyhow.
Yeah, but you got to have somebody to turn to because you totally trust Onanen.
No, I don't, like, both guys, I've got concerns about both.
So if you have concerns about both, at least Anand knows and recognizes and understands his role. I don't know if Georgiev would.
I don't know. I've been benched. I know what it feels like. You know, either bow your back and come out fighting or you know, fold goalies, your tent.
Goalies, man. They're a quirky bunch. I'm just saying, they're a quirky bunch.
Third down.
Congratulations to the DU Pioneers national champions again.
10 seconds. Steve Booyam sends it off the glass. Getting there is Jared Wright. Time's going to come. Denver's going to win 10. The debate is over. There is no more argument. DU is officially the greatest college hockey program of all time.
No argument there. Jay Stickney on the call on the fan. As DU wins their 10th national championship, moving ahead of Michigan, who they are tied with, both with 9. DU now all alone with 10 natties. Way to go.
They're like
what a program.
They are like the Idaho of college hockey. This is a national powerhouse.
They never dip, really. They never do. They never. I can't remember the last time this program had to go through like a 5-year rebuilding. They just constantly reload, keep coming back, and are just a high quality program. Yeah, mixing in a few championships here and there.
Since the turn of the century, since 2000 started, they've been a great hockey program. They had a lull there after.
They did. They went from 1969 to 2004 in between titles. But since then, 2004, 2005, 2017, 2022, now 2024. 5 championships in the last 20 years.
Pretty impressive.
Not bad. Not bad at all. That'll do it for 4 Down Territory, our tour around the Denver sports scene. Don't forget the Fan Flyaway once you signed up, as we're giving you a chance to go to the Pro Basketball Championships in June. What you'll get is 2 tickets to a game, round-trip airfare for 2 from Denver to a destination to be determined, 2 nights hotel, $500 spending money. Head to denversports.com/thefanflyaway to register. Claim your special offer from Sport Clips. And those of you who previously entered our Fan Flyaway back in February to Vegas, you're already grandfathered in and signed up. So get signed up, denversports.com/thefanflyaway. Coming up next, I got to ask, Mark, as much as the Nuggets got a bit of a break, they did blow their chance to have a number one seed. I just like to know, how does that happen? How does that loss to the Spurs with so much on the line happen? You'll explain next.
With an advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and trusted partnership, Comcast Business powers more businesses than anyone. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Get started with internet and security for your small business for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract. Plus, ask how to get up to an $800 prepaid card with qualifying internet. Call today. Ends 5/5/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 50 megabits per second internet and security edge. Eco bill and auto pay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
That tough SOB, Chris Bryant.
Oh, my gosh. See him slam into that wall?
The reaction on Saturday when he had to leave the game with a sore back just started making the rounds on social media Saturday. Oh, here we go again. Wow, shocker. And, yes, he was out of the lineup yesterday. Iron Man out.
I mean, after that collision.
So, hey, get ready, Albuquerque. Rehab assignment coming to your backyard yet again. I wonder if, like, when the Albuquerque Isotopes put their season ticket packages together, they highlight the fact that come see Chris Bryant on one of his 3 rehab assignments that will inevitably pop up during the season?
Or do you think they get to the point where they go, this guy again?
Oh, man, you have to joke about it, because otherwise you're just like, what the heck is going on? Speaking of what the heck's going on, I know that Nikola Jokic is very excited that the regular season is over. I know he's very excited that they have the week off.
before they play again on Saturday. He's going to get a chance to hang out with his daughter in their new pool the next couple of days.
It's good. To be honest, I'm excited. I need to hurry home. We opened a pool yesterday or 2 days ago, so I'm kind of excited to spend a couple of days with my daughter on the pool. So that's, for me, exciting right now.
Jokic on Altitude TV, so he's excited to get into his new pool and relax for the next couple of days. Do explain to me, because as much as I think all of Nuggets fans out there have looked at this coming down the stretch as like, let's just get this thing over with.
Mm-hmm.
They still put themselves in position by virtue of that win over Minnesota to control their own fate for the number one seed in the West. They build the big lead against San Antonio, but then they cough it up and they end up losing, and they go into the situation yesterday where they could have easily ended up as the third seed. Minnesota wins yesterday. They're the third seed. Instead, Minnesota loses at home to Phoenix, and so the Nuggets end up being the two seed. This is something that drives fans crazy, and I hear it all the time. So please, can you explain, as a former professional athlete, how does that loss to the Spurs happen? With so much to play for, and you build the lead like that, how do you give it up?
Yeah, I think I think it's an interesting question. And, I mean, I think it's fairly explainable, but I also think that people don't want to hear it. And these dudes are beat. They're tired. They've been looking for the end of the season for the last 2 weeks. And you build up a big lead, and you figure, like, okay, now we can coast. And ultimately, when you coast like that, very, very difficult to flip the switch. When you start playing in a coasting mode, it's very hard to go, okay, now let's flip the switch. You've given the other team momentum, you've given them confidence, you've given them all those things. And so I just know that it's hard. I know toward the end of the season when, you know, I played on teams that were number one seeds, there was a time where you're like, shoot, we're in this thing. And you know, in football's different, man. You go out on the field and you don't have it, you know, you're going to get physically, you're going to get whooped. I mean, like, whooped. And so that part is embarrassing to put on film. So there is that aspect of it. But I understand, I just understand the mentality of, and I think the other thing you have to understand about the Nuggets is they have so much confidence. I honestly don't think they look at this like, oh gosh, we have to have the number one seed so we can, you know, we can get into, we got to have the home field or the home court versus, I just don't think they look at it that way.
So in the Nuggets case, no big whoop.
I don't think it's a big deal.
Is the Avalanche 7-0 loss on Saturday to Winnipeg no big whoop?
It's not no big whoop, but I also understand how the Avalanche have felt as well. And I think sometimes when you're a team that is still trying to kind of figure it out toward the end of the season, you're tired. You know, if we're healthy and we've got, you know, Rantanen going and we've got McKinnon going and we've got, I almost called him McKinnon and Rantanen, Lekkonen going.
McKinnon.
We got Valinen. You know, if we got all our guys going and McCarr's going, like, we're pretty good. And sometimes a good old-fashioned butt-whipping can make you open your eyes to the things you aren't doing very well. But again, you know, them giving up that lead, building up a lead against Vegas and then giving it up, that's probably a little bit more concerning to me than the 7-0
really
wipeout. Yeah.
7-0 you just pass off as a bad day. 3-0 you are more concerned about because clearly they came out ready to play and played well for the first 40 minutes.
Right.
And the fact that they couldn't finish it.
7-0 you give up some goals, you give up a couple early goals. Guys are just like, all right, this is just one of those buzzsaw games and you got us. So
you're a little bit more sympathetic to the Avs right now than I am. I see, and I know people are trying to spin this finish of the season and compare it to a couple of years ago when the Avalanche struggled down the stretch. That was a team, though, that had already established themselves as one of the best teams in hockey, winning their division.
Mm-hmm.
They clearly separated themselves from the rest of the West that year. And then they kind of limped home. But it was that one had a nugget. See, I didn't panic when I remember Stokely reacting to that losing streak. And he was like, oh, my panic meter's at like an 11 on a scale of 1 to 10. It's on an 11. And I told him to relax because that Avalanche finish that year felt like, you know, the Nuggets losing to the Spurs type thing. Like, hey, this is a team that just wants the season over with. They know how good they are. I don't think this team is in that situation. I think this team is very much trying to figure out who and what they are. They've had some bad losses coming down the stretch here. They get blown out at Edmonton. They get beat at home by Dallas. They get swamped by a Winnipeg team that they hadn't beaten this year. And they were playing for the chance to have home ice. You want to set some type of a tone with the knowledge that you're probably going to meet in the first round. To lose like that sends up some red flags. That's why with the Nuggets, I do not see a team in the West that can beat the Nuggets four times. With the Avalanche, I have so much respect for their core players that I could see this team going to the Western Conference Finals. I could also see this team losing in the first round to Winnipeg. I have no idea what to expect from the Avalanche.
Well, that's just the thing.
In the playoffs. None.
You could see the Avalanche losing 4 to Winnipeg. You could see them losing 4 to Dallas. You could see them losing 4 to Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
You could see them
Edmonton.
Edmonton. You could see them losing all those games, right? The Nuggets, it's really hard to find a team where you feel like they could beat the Nuggets four times. Every team. And I just think hockey's a little bit tighter. And my concern for goaltending is that's my major concern. And it's like Bednar said. We said it earlier. Bednar also said it. You know, the concern is, hey, man, when we do have a breakdown, which we'll have occasionally, especially as offensive as some of our defensive players are, we're going to have a breakdown every now and again. And we rely on Makar scoring. We rely on some of that stuff. Mike, our goaltender's got to bail us out. And he hasn't been able to bail us out.
Up next at What's Trending, a Broncos Super Bowl hero showed up on one of Mark's favorite TV shows. That's next.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with What's Trending right now.
I don't know if you knew this about Mark, but one of his favorite TV shows is The Masked Singer. For a couple of reasons. Your granddaughter loves it.
Yeah, my granddaughter loves it.
And your buddies with
Ken Jeong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So on The Masked Singer, well, a former Bronco great showed up.
Welcome to your life.
What do you think? Former Bronco player, former Bronco great, Super Bowl hero. What'd that sound like to you? Do you know who the Masked Singer is, Mark?
I just wonder if they've got, like, if people can really sing or they, like, auto-tune all that stuff.
No, that was him. There was a little bit of auto-tune behind him, but that was, you could hear him. I could hear that was an amateur singer. It came through very clear.
Well, I mean, but it was pretty good.
DeMarcus Ware.
Yeah.
That was DeMarcus Ware.
Good for DeMarcus.
Who was unveiled on The Masked Singer. Second time he's been on this show.
Really?
Yeah, I guess he was on a few years ago.
I have not been on the show.
I'm still waiting for your Dancing with the Stars invite.
No.
They haven't got to the D-listers yet? Because they've been working through the B and C listers.
Yeah.
Haven't gotten to the D's yet?
I don't even know they got in the C's yet.
Oh, no, they've gotten to the C's.
Oh.
No, trust me. Some of these people.
I'll be 80 before
they get. I didn't realize you were still alive.
I'll be 80 before they get to me.
So, good for DeMarcus Ware. Well, be careful what you say. Sports karma. Hockey karma. Can come back and bite you. Cutter Garthier of Boston College was interviewed before the championship game.
It's going to be epic. There's going to be a lot of emotions, you know, and a lot of tears for that team over there. So we're happy and we're excited to get after it.
Oh, well, who ended up crying? Who had the tears afterwards? BC, who had not been shut out all season long, shut out by Matt Davis and the Pios.
Aww. That was a BC guy?
That was a BC guy.
Yeah.
Highly, in fact, I think he just turned around yesterday and signed a pro contract with the Anaheim Ducks. I think it was the 7th overall pick. Boston College had like, what was the number I saw? 14 NHL drafted players.
Really?
14.
How many of the Pios?
Not 14.
Really?
Maybe they should reevaluate the draft.
Maybe.
I always love it when Boston people lose. You too?
As she wears her Yankee cap every day.
Mm-hmm.
So, really cool moment yesterday. Vern Lundquist, Steamboat Springs. Vern Lundquist. Mm-hmm.
Called my first start in the NFL.
Did he really?
Vern did, yeah.
Did he really?
Met with Vern and Terry Bradshaw.
No
did the
kidding.
Game. Yeah.
Great broadcaster. He's done it all over the years. Yes, he was calling his 40th and final Masters. Thought that was a really cool moment. Before they went on television yesterday, Tiger was out playing early in the day. And when he got to the 16th green, which has always been Vern Lundquist's spot, Vern was down there kind of tucked behind a tree. And Tiger went over, said hello, and they shook hands and... It was pretty cool.
That is cool.
It's pretty cool. Anyway, final time for Vern Lundquist at the Masters.
If you're lucky in your career, like I have been, you have a couple of moments like that. And a lot of guys spend their career and are never presented with that opportunity. Well, then it's a lightning bolt. And you better catch it and catch it right. The history of this place, because of all the things I've done, of which I am most proud, to have a history with the Masters Tournament, nothing can compare. Oh,
very cool. Very cool. Broadcasting legend right there. He's done it all. Done it all in this business. And so great job, Vern Lundquist, enjoying his semi-retirement up there in Steamboat.
Glorious and free.
Wish him the best.
Is stardom confirmed?
Nance. He has, you know, he has those moments just set up for that final tap in on 18. You know, he had it ready for Scheffler.
Oh, yeah. Nance is so prepared. He's so good. He really is.
All right, another Masters in the books. So good one. Another good one. See this? Kentucky. Boy, they love their college basketball at the University of Kentucky. So, you know, John Calipari moved on.
Sure.
They hired their new coach, Mark Pope. They introduced him yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Not to just some press conference, some media schlub press conference. Oh, no. They introduced him in front of a Rupp Arena crowd. A sold-out Rupp Arena crowd. Like, 15,000 people showed up for this guy's introductory press conference. How cool is
that?
They
sold tickets to come watch the press conference. Cheer on the new coach.
And how was it?
That's amazing.
That's amazing.
It really is.
They care about their basketball there.
Oh, yeah, they do.
They take their basketball really serious.
Yes, they do.
So, good luck, Mark Pope. No pressure. No pressure at all. That is what is trending. Bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. We'll jump into the text line. A lot to react to from a busy sports weekend. And ask the question to both Nuggets and Avalanche fans. How do you feel about your teams going into the playoffs? Let us know next.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
Brass Monkey.
Well, on a weekend that did not start well, Nuggets losing at San Antonio on Friday, costing themselves a shot at the number one seed. Then the Avalanche go out in what was being hyped as the biggest regular season game of the year for them, a showdown against Winnipeg, a team that they'll play in the first round of the playoffs, home ice on the line perhaps, and they get swamped 7-0. So it leads to the question that we're asking both Nuggets and Avalanche fans, because we're all about accuracy, right? So how are we taking the temperature here?
Rectally.
Of course. So the question is to Nuggets and or Avalanche fans, if you just want to answer for one of the teams or both, how do you feel about your teams going into the playoffs? How do you feel about the Nuggets going into the playoffs, Mark, despite not ending up with the number one seed?
I don't think the number one seed wasn't that important to me. I don't think it was that important to them. I think they played the end of the season very much that way with the way they managed Jamal Murray's health and everything else. So I just wasn't that concerned about it.
Even though they did put themselves in position to have the number one seed?
And then
give themselves even more of a chance by building the big lead against San Antonio. The fact that they coughed all that up.
Did it bother me? No. I mean, would I have liked to see them get the number one seed? Sure. Would I like to see them close out the game against San Antonio? Yeah, I would. But am I concerned about anybody in the Western Conference beating the Nuggets four games? No. I think they're that good.
Well, clearly some people were rattled by the loss to San Antonio, because I was following social media yesterday during the Nuggets game, including our own guy. I'm not isolating you, Jake Shapiro, but I was following Jake as well, and Jake's like, oh, man, everything's really breaking the right way for the Nuggets today. You know, Minnesota's losing, and they're going to end up opposite in the other bracket, opposite of Dallas and the Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking to myself, breaks? Nuggets don't need breaks. Nuggets don't need anything to break their way.
Right.
Bring on whomever. I don't care.
So now they tied. They ended
whoever,
up with a tied
whoever.
Record with the Thunder, right? But the Thunder had the tiebreaker.
Right. But I never once looked at this team. My thought about this team has been consistent throughout. As long as the starting five is healthy, I do not see a team in the West beating this team four times. I don't care who they are. I don't care if the Nuggets have home court or not. Doesn't bother me. Now, once they had beaten Minnesota and they put themselves in the top spot, it only made my belief in the Nuggets even stronger
mm-hmm.
because of having home court. But, you know, the fact that they wouldn't have home court in any series until they would play Oklahoma City, and it wouldn't surprise me if Oklahoma City was bounced between. It would not shock me at all if the Nuggets had home court in the Western Conference Finals.
Yes.
By the time the Western Conference Finals, it would not surprise me at all if the Nuggets have
home
court.
I mean, you think that the Thunder are going to lose a series?
I don't think they're ready. I don't think they're ready.
Who do the Thunder start out with?
Whoever the eighth seed is. They'll get the winner of the... Well, it'll probably be... So, Golden State plays Sacramento. Do you like Golden State to win that game at Sacramento?
Yes.
I do, too. So then Golden State would then have to play the loser. Oh, this play-in tournament. They would play the loser of the Pelicans-Lakers game.
Right.
In which case, I'd like the Warriors again.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just say the Warriors are the 8th seed.
Okay.
So Warriors-Oklahoma City in the first round. Who would you take?
I'd take OKC.
But it wouldn't shock you if...
No, it wouldn't shock me if the Warriors beat.
Then Oklahoma City would take on the winner of Dallas and the Clippers.
Yeah, see?
So you very easily could have the Nuggets being home court by the time the Western Conference Finals were all around.
Yeah.
So when it comes to the Nuggets, the San Antonio loss was sort of embarrassing, but I didn't think it hurt them at all.
Mm-hmm.
The Avalanche, I don't know. I don't know. This is and for people saying that, hey, relax, the Avalanche team that won the Cup a couple of years ago, they struggled down the stretch. Much different story. Much different vibe. Much different vibe. That team was set. They were ready to go. There were no real questions. It was like, hurry up and get this regular season over with.
Did that,
this team is still trying to figure some things out.
Did that team make a bunch of trade
They made some moves, but everyone fit in a lot more seamlessly than has happened with this group.
Landeskog.
Does he play? What do you think?
I don't think so. Do you think these?
I don't think he does.
I don't either. Have you heard any rumblings, anything coming out of?
Well, just the idea that he's been out there skating and he's been able to do some drills that he hasn't done yet to this point in his rehab. So his rehab is progressing. But enough to jump out there and play Stanley Cup playoff hockey after not playing in 2 years when you still have 5 years left on your contract? Guaranteed money?
Yeah.
Nah. I don't think it's worth it.
And by the way, he's doing some drills he hasn't done in the past or new drills. That does not sound great to me. Oh, he's doing drills. So yeah,
he's got a long way to go.
Yeah.
And with the playoffs starting here right around the corner, no. But you know, you look at the Avalanche this year, so people are comparing it to what happened a couple of years ago. That team, it was different. That Avalanche team, they did not have the best record in all of hockey. That was Florida with 122 points, but the Avalanche that year had 119 points. They were far and away the best team in the West. The next closest team to them was Minnesota with 113. So that Avalanche team, which finished the Avalanche that season, number one team in the West, 119 points, second most points in all of hockey, and they still finished the season 4-5-1 in their last 10. That was a team that couldn't wait for the season to get over. They were ready to roll. This team, they're still trying to work in the new pieces that they acquired after the deadline. They still are unsettled at goaltender. No Landeskog, no Kadri. But they still have that core players that I cannot dismiss the Avs' chances because any team that's got McKinnon, McCarr, Rantanen, Val, Taves, you know, any team that has a core like that, I'm not going to dismiss. Nobody's going to want to play the Avalanche, trust me. But the Avalanche, whereas I look at the Nuggets and I see a team that I just automatically put in the Western Conference Finals, automatically.
Right.
The Avs, to me, are a team that could go to the Western Conference Finals or they could lose in the first round.
Yeah. You know, I know we
neither one would surprise me.
I know we talked about McKinnon winning the Hart Trophy. McKinnon, after that Minnesota game on ESPN where he scores the hat trick, has the assist. Any concern over what's happened here down the stretch about him losing the grip on that?
I checked it over the weekend, and it's still...
He still has...
It's still rock solid.
Okay. So he's still overwhelming favorite in Vegas?
Yeah. Jokic is... You know, there was I heard from some people, did his MVP chances get hurt by them losing to San Antonio and by Oklahoma? You know, this is the whole Stephen A. Smith.
Right.
If you're the best player on the best team in the West, then you should be the MVP. Well, hold on, Stephen A. The NBA MVP award is a league-wide. So if that's the case, using your argument, then Tatum should be the MVP, right?
That's ignorant.
Best player on the best team in the NBA this year? So why all of a sudden are you discounting Tatum in Boston, but now you're saying SGA gets it because they were the best team in the West?
Nah, silly.
Nah. Let's see. So we'll get to some of those texts. Fellas, I'm sorry. I just don't see it. There's something missing with both the Avs and Nugs. I could see both losing in the first round. Wade in Loveland.
I don't see that with the don't see it with the Nuggets. I really don't. What am I missing with the Nuggets?
Wade, I guess I'd have to follow up. What do you think's missing? They go out this season as the hunted, with a bullseye on their back, and win 57 games, entire franchise record. All the while, by the way, working in a young bench, that you don't see many. I think you'd be hard pressed to find many defending champions who went as young on their bench as the Nuggets did this year.
Right.
Still win 57 games. Still finish the number two seed. No, I don't have any concerns about the Nuggets. I think they've proven all year that their motivation is still high, that they are still hungry. They've raised their game in the biggest games. Now, give them a week off now. We saw how they came out refreshed after the All-Star break. Maybe got a little bit bumpy near the end, but that was just a team that had already proven their point, just wanted to get on with the playoffs. Nah. They're ready to go. The Avs, though, the Avs have questions.
When do the Avs start?
Well, they play their final game of the season on Thursday. So they probably will turn around and start playing this weekend.
Okay, so you get both the Nugs and the Avs this weekend. Right, you said the Nugs are Saturday, right?
Nugs are Saturday. They will play Saturday.
Okay.
We know that. So we'll get that more questions out there, more reaction from the RamosLaw.com text line. Avalanche Nugget fans, how are you feeling about your teams going into the playoffs? In the meantime, in case you missed it, Mark was a special invite to Boulder and CU bus practice on Saturday, guest of Deion Sanders. What was the highlight of the day?
I love being out on the field. I love being able to talk to some of the young offensive linemen, kind of give them some thoughts, you know, about where to keep a guy, how to funnel people, a little bit more nuanced aspect of football that you're trying to get kids to kind of think of the game on a more global perspective. Deion asked me to speak to the team, so I got to do that as well.
What was your message?
I can't tell you.
Come on.
It's
come on. Just ballpark it. Just,
I think you could probably find it on
somewhere.
YouTube.
I saw
somewhere.
Pictures of you standing there talking. Yeah.
Come on, man.
I just talked about the sacrifice it takes to be great.
Okay.
Something like that.
All right.
Yeah.
What's Deion like in action? Because you're talking about somebody who is the most interesting, charismatic, curiosity figure out there in college football right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to see him in his element.
Yeah.
Behind the scenes. I mean, I know the cameras are still rolling. The cameras are always rolling with Deion, but you were kind of behind the scenes there.
Yeah.
Behind the curtain. So, you know, what's he like as a coach?
I think he's got and builds a great relationship with his players. And he holds his players accountable. And, you know, there's always a message. You know, he gets up and talks to his team. There's a message. There's something that you're conveying. You're talking about discipline. You're talking about, you know, just all the things that are required to be great, beyond being a great football player, being great in the classroom, being great, you know, on campus, being great as, you know, as a representative of the CU Buffs. There is that aspect that Deion is always kind of pouring into those kids' lives. And I think that's a pretty cool thing. It's a pretty cool, you know, starting point. And then, you know, he's one of those guys that delegates the authority of practice to his coaches, to his D coordinator, to his offensive coordinator. Deion's fingerprints all over that because he wants team periods and he wants those guys to compete in team periods. He wants to see them compete. He wants to see them to go toe-to-toe with each other, you know, offense and defense. And you can tell that that's the big part. And then also that part of, you know, you could see him coaching some of those DBs occasionally, you know, and get involved in. Same thing that I get involved in. It's not as much technique stuff as it is, what were you thinking? Like, what possible route can this guy run out of that position? So why would you, you know, why would you bite? Or why would you not take that aggressive kind of position to take that number one route away? You know, just, like, think about what they're going to do out of this particular formation.
So he's more of a football CEO than a football coach.
Oh, yeah. There's definitely, there's no question he's a big-time CEO of that program. And like I said, that guy has been coaching. I think what people don't really understand, that dude's been coaching. You can go back to Little League. This guy's been coaching for 20 some odd straight years, you know, with his kids. So it's he's been coaching those teams and coaching philosophy and coaching. So he's been around a bunch of coaches. He's been around a bunch of offense. He's been around a bunch of defense. He knows what he wants it to look like. And then, of course, I mean, when it comes to, you know, understanding secondary play and corner play, there's nobody on the planet that knows more about that than him. So, yeah, but he's the CEO of that football team, man, and it's fun to watch.